The message this morning for this new year is the admonition to pursue wisdom in 2016. First, you got to remember to say 2016. That's going to be the first thing that we have to remember this year. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Written by Solomon, David's son. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose, the purpose of these Proverbs, not just chapter 1, but all 31 chapters, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those who understand, let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Prior to Advent, we had been preaching through the Old Testament, and in that journey, we have gone through the book of, from Genesis through the book of Psalms. And so today we're going to look at Proverbs. And someone has said that the Proverbs are highly compressed, carefully chosen words of wisdom that have been skillfully crafted to stick in our minds so that our behavior changes. That's kind of a mouthful, but it says it really well, isn't it? They have also been called short sentences founded upon long experience. And that's wisdom, wisdom by experience. These proverbs of the Bible are observations from mostly from Solomon's life, from other people as well, but mostly for Solomon wrote most of these proverbs. And they're observations of things that he experienced in his life that he then put into simple sayings so they would stick in our mind, so we therefore would apply them to our lives and find our behaviors being changed. And so Proverbs are easy to say and hard to forget. That's a proverb. Now we've learned Proverbs over the years, other Proverbs other than the ones that are in the Bible, and let's try a little test and see how you do. I'll say the first half of the proverb. You say out loud the second half of the proverb, all right? A dog is a man's. There you go. Don't cry over. Don't judge a book. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but I don't know if I agree with that one, but okay. Don't count your chickens. People in glass houses. And the early bird, that's right, and the second mouse gets the cheese. Now, there was a first grade teacher who kind of gave the same test to her first grade class. She gave them the first half of a proverb, asked them to respond with the answers of how they thought the proverb would end. Here's some of the answers that she got. These are great. Strike while the bug is close. Never underestimate the power of termites. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. That's a very wise saying. You can't teach an old dog new math. If you lie down with dogs, you'll stink in the morning. An idle mind is the best way to relax. A penny saved is not much. There are none so blind as Stevie Wonder. I didn't write these, I'm just reporting what they said. This is what the first graders wrote down. When the blind lead the blind, get out of the way. And here's the classic one. Better late than pregnant. Did you ever notice that a lot of the country western songs are proverb-like? I have some titles of country western songs. These are actual title, folks. I did not make these up. Here they are. How can I miss you if you won't go away? Great song. I would have wrote you a letter, but I couldn't spell yuck. I bought the shoes that just walked out on me. I liked you better before I knew you so well. And I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back while I cry over you. I don't know if any of those ever made the top 10, but there they are. But this book of Proverbs, what is the purpose? Why are they even in the Bible? Solomon wrote these. He was a very wise man. He wrote many more Proverbs, even beyond the ones that we have in the Bible. They say he wrote over, I don't know, 3,000 or whatever it was. But what is the purpose of them? Well, our text tells us what the purpose of these Proverbs are in the Bible. Now let's look at it again. It's in verses 2 through 5. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. And so the purpose of these proverbs is to teach us wisdom and discipline and guidance and understanding and knowledge and discernment. And they will help us in our lives as we read them and think about them and apply them to our lives. One of the things that I have done, and I would recommend it to you as well, is to read a proverb a day. There are 31 chapters of Proverbs, and there's around 31 days in a month. And so every day you could read a different proverb. And if you do that in every year, you know, every month, on the first day of the month, you're always reading the first chapter of Proverbs. And the second day of the month, you're always reading the second chapter of Proverbs. And in that way, you'll go through these Proverbs. And it's a good exercise to do because they teach us, it says, wisdom. Their purpose is to teach us wisdom. So what exactly is wisdom? What is wisdom? The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern what is true and right. The ability to discern what is true and right. Therefore, our English word wisdom has both a moral implication to discern what is right, as well as an intellectual implication, discerning what is true. But the Hebrew word that is translated wisdom in our English language Bibles is actually a lot more interesting, or at least a bit more interesting than the English word, the Hebrew word is. The Hebrew word usually refers to a kind of skill or ability. Let me explain. My dad was a tailor, and when it came to making clothes, the man was a genius. And his brother as well was in that garment field, kind of all of the Bonfiglios were in the garment field, something my mother never wanted me to get involved in. And what they were able to do was a designer would draw, let's say, a coat that he wanted to create. And they could, my father and my uncle, could look at that drawing, and from that drawing, they could make a pattern that they could then give to people who worked in a factory. And if they would follow that pattern, they could manufacture that particular coat. They could create that coat that man, that designer, drew. Now, the Hebrew word for wisdom originally was used to describe tailors or weavers who would make these elaborate garments for the priests, especially for Aaron, the high priest. And since the high priest and their clothing were an example of or typified the ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ, it was imperative that they would follow God's exact specifications for these garments. Let me read from Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. Exodus 28, verse 3. Instruct all the skilled craftsmen, notice, skilled craftsmen, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. So these people who have these skills, I have filled them with the spirit of wisdom. You see the comment, wisdom and skills working together. I have them make garments for Aaron that will distinguish him as a priest set apart for my service. So this ability to follow God's design, God's pattern, God's blueprint, if you prefer, in making these garments, that was labeled as wisdom. And from that point, the Israelites would equate wisdom with the skill of living. Wisdom, therefore, was defined as the skill to live life according to God's plan. It's taking that plan that God has for our lives and following it to fulfill what He wants us to be. The skill of living life according to God's plan. A wise person is someone who will live according to the patterns that God has for how to take care of finances, or how to set goals, or how to live in relationships, whether it's marriage relationships or parenting, and a lot of these proverbs talk about marriage and parenting. But it's giving us God's specifications of how to do those things. And that's what the proverbs are. A lot of those issues are covered in Proverbs. And so this Hebrew word distinguishes wisdom from knowledge, because a person can have a mind full of facts yet lack authentic wisdom. Wisdom is what we need to fulfill God's purpose for our life. God has designed each one of us, and we need to fulfill His purpose. So, how do we apply these words of wisdom from Proverbs? It's important to understand how to apply them, because these sayings from the book of Proverbs are generalizations about what is true most of the time. In other words, they're guidelines for wise living. They're not rigid, absolute promises or laws. They are sayings that will tell us what will usually work in most circumstances. But these proverbs don't work in every single circumstance. Let me give you some examples so you understand what I'm saying and you don't think I'm a heretic. Let me give you some examples. For example, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, that proverb tells us a gentle answer will turn away wrath. Well, that's true most times, but it's not true all the time. It's true in more circumstances than it's not true. And so it makes sense that you should give a gentle answer when someone is really mad. But the proverb does not guarantee that this gentle answer will always diffuse anger. It will many times. Sometimes it might not work. The other person might not cooperate. Let me give you another example. There's another proverb. It's in Proverbs 10, verse 27, that says, "The years of the wicked will be short." Well, that's true more often than it's not. But it's not true in every single case. And so these proverbs are observations about how life works in most cases. But it's very important that you understand that they're generalizations sometimes, or they don't always work. And it's really important to understand that as you read the ones about parenting and about marriage. Yet proverbs are these wise sayings that are relevant for different many different situations. So here's the question for the day. How does one pursue wisdom? How does one acquire wisdom? The place to begin is to have a healthy relationship with God. Wisdom, we are told, begins with a fear of the Lord. Look at it again in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So this verse is telling us that, well, first of all, this verse is using knowledge and wisdom and discipline, all to describe the same thing. And most Bible teachers would say that this particular verse is kind of the motto or the theme of Proverbs, that every wise saying goes back to this fundamental principle that getting wisdom begins with the fear of God. So to pursue wisdom, we need to know God. And the way to know God is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, by the way, is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, well, 24, says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So if you want to pursue wisdom, fear God and give your life to Jesus Christ. Now the fear of the Lord has two sides to it. One side is to hate evil, to hate sin and to avoid sin at all cost. The other side is to delight in doing God's will. Psalm 112 verse 1 says, How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His command. The fear of God is to view God with a deep and healthy respect as shown in our hatred of evil and our love for what God wants. And the best word to describe that, the best word to describe the fear of the Lord is the word reverence, giving reverence to God. Reverence is a response to the revelation of God. When God reveals Himself to us, I believe the only appropriate response is reverence. And with it, with reverence comes submissiveness. Submissiveness. A submissive attitude towards God is the expression of that reverence for God, that fear of God in our lives. We want to live our lives in harmony with His righteous standards. We want to understand that we are in the presence of a holy, just, almighty God who holds us accountable for our motives, for our thoughts, for our words, for our actions. But here's another requirement for receiving wisdom. We have to passionately want wisdom. We have to passionately pursue it. I want to read from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 from The Message. Here's how Eugene Peterson translates Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. Throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She'll make your life glorious. Notice the commands in that verse. Get wisdom. Write it at the top of your list. Get understanding. Esteem it. Embrace it. Never let it go. To pursue wisdom, one of the most important things you will do in your life. Another way that we passionately pursue wisdom is to boldly ask for it. Boldly ask for it. The New Testament says that we don't have wisdom or we lack wisdom because we don't ask God for it. If we would ask God for it, He would surely give it to us. It's in James chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So we start by admitting that we need wisdom, that we lack wisdom, and then asking God for it. And often we lack wisdom because we're just not humble enough to ask God for it. Another way that we need to pursue wisdom is not to read just Proverbs, but read the Bible and to apply the Bible. And that's the way to apply God's, taking God's path of righteousness. The Proverbs talk about God's path of righteousness. It's a theme throughout Proverbs. And it pictures a journey that we're on. And on this journey, there's lots of different roads that you could take. But the path of righteousness is consistent with God who's righteous. There's also another path. It's called the path of the wicked. And it's a path of darkness. And it's a path that's inconsistent with the righteous character of God. It's the path that I lived at one time, a path of darkness, a path of wickedness, rebellion towards God, didn't care what God wanted to do my own thing, and I walked my own path. And often we don't realize just how dark the path is that we're on because we're so used to walking that path. We don't even realize. Yet we wonder, why do I keep stumbling and falling? Why is my life such a mess? Why isn't life working for me? Why are my relationships always falling apart? Why is the circumstances don't seem to go my way? You know, we think it's bad luck. We think it's bad breaks. We blame others. When the reality is, it's because we're not living according to God's, we're going against God's grain. God has built certain rules, certain laws into this universe. And you go along with them, things go a lot smoother. You go against them, and things are a lot rougher. God's word serves as a compass. You know, if someone's lost in the forest and doesn't know how to get out, they use a compass. And God's word is like a compass, showing us what's good and what's evil, what's the right way to go, what's the wrong way to go. And if you live by an accurate moral code, God's word, things will go better. Things will work for you. And if you go by an inaccurate moral code and live against God's set of rules, you, like a broken compass, you're going to get more and more lost. Now let me give you one final requirement for getting wisdom. To live wisely, you need to build a life plan that is consistent with God's plan. Build a life plan that's consistent with God's plan. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. The implication of this is that you can try to make your own plans, but if they're inconsistent with God's plan, it's going to be a disaster. A wise person aligns his life, her life, with God's purposes. To do otherwise is foolish, because it says to us that God's word, God's plan is the one that's going to prevail. He's the one, his plan is the one that's going to be meaningful in the end. Live by his plan. When you think about success in your life, what comes to mind? What picture do you get when you think of success? Maybe it's owning a home, having a great job, making lots of money, having successful kids who go to college and they get good jobs and make lots of money. And perhaps there's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. But what I don't hear in those things is asking, God, what is your plan for my life? Or what is your plan for the world? And how can I make my life plan fit in with your life or your plan? God's plan for the world is to share the good news of his love as it's revealed through Jesus Christ. God's plan for the world is to show people that God is real by our words and by our actions. God's plan is to be a part of a church community where we're truly seeking and living Christ-likeness, learning and giving and serving and sharing with others. God's plan is helping your child not just to be successful, but to become passionate followers of Jesus equipped to live a life in this culture that's hostile and is going to be hostile to their faith. It's helping them to learn how to do that. God's plan is to alleviate human suffering wherever we see it, especially by embodying Christ's tenderness and compassion. God's plan is to speak out against evil and hatred where we see it. God's plan is to help people understand the truths of God found in the Bible. To live wisely is to redefine what we mean by success. To live wisely is to abandon our quest for self-fulfillment and abandon ourselves to Christ's fulfillment. Living wisely is to find out how God has uniquely wired you and then to use that uniqueness to serve others and to ask God to use you that way. Living wisely is to break out of our consumer mentality that we bring to church many times and to view ourselves as followers of Jesus who are passionately pursuing Jesus and God's purpose for our lives. Living wisely is to build a life plan that's consistent with God's plan. And so today, God is inviting you to pursue wisdom. The way to begin that pursuit is to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once that relationship is established, then continue that journey that called you to passionately pursue wisdom by having reverence for God, submitting to His will, knowing His word and applying it, hating evil and sin and avoiding it, and delighting instead in doing God's will. It's living God's plan for your life. Let's pray together. Just want to mention that there is an insert in your bulletin of an exercise that you could do. Hope that you will look through that when you get an opportunity. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together today. Lord, I pray that we would be students of your word, that we would understand what you say is successful living, what you say is the right way to live, what you say is important, that we look at the instructions that you give of how to live in our marriage, how to be good parents, how to live in other relationships, how to have goals and how to deal with things like anger and anxiety. I pray, Lord, that we would be students of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would have a reverence for you, that we would want to obey you, Lord, and we would delight in obeying you. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who has never asked your son Jesus into their lives, Lord, that you would help them to know that that's the wisest thing they could ever do. If they really want to pursue wisdom, that's the wisest thing they could ever do. For you love them. You have a plan for their life. You want to bless their life. You want to show them the way, the right way to live, that their lives will be blessed. And so, Lord, I pray that they would open their heart to you. They would ask you to come into their lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to live that relationship with you. I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace and blessings in our life. Now, if you would stand with me, I just want to ask the Lord to bless you in this new year. I pray, Lord, for each person that is here, each family that they represent, oh God. May each one know how much you love them, how much you care about them. May they seek you in your purpose and plan for their life. May you bless their lives, oh Lord, this day, this week, this year. And we thank you, Lord, that you use us to be your messengers to others. We are dismissed from this place with your blessing, Lord. but never dismissed from your presence. We thank you that you are always with us. We love you. And Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.